Turn your Bibles to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My favorite poem that I've read for you on numerous occasions is this. I'd walked life's way with an easy tread, had followed where comfort and pleasures led, until one day in a quiet place I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul, I entered to win life's mad race when I met the Master face to face. I had built my castles and reared them high, with their towers had pierced the blue sky. I had sworn to rule with an iron mace when I met the Master face to face. I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day when my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place not else did I see but my Master's face. And I cried aloud, O make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet. My thought is now for the souls of men. I have lost my life to find it again. Ere since that day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. You know, there are times in my ministry where a particular thought or idea seems to dominate my meditation. It seems as though for the past week I have been referring frequently to the face of Jesus. I guess it started last Sunday night when I was trying to preach to the youth, and we looked at that third verse of the 22nd chapter Revelation, where it says, they shall see his face. And surely that is the heaven of heavens for the believer, to see the face of Jesus. Wednesday night, I dealt with some of the passages in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Some of you might recall that, how that we now, through a glass darkly, look in the face of Jesus Christ, and I think that's what it's referring to. But we behold his glory, and through that we are changed from glory to glory, that we get brighter and brighter as we gaze upon him. We are changed into the same glory. And that's what the Bible says in the 18th verse of the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Yesterday I had to preach at the ordination service, and I preached from a passage of Scripture found in the 17th division of Psalms, where it says, "I will see you in righteousness, long for that day when I shall be changed and be made like you." What a glorious time it's going to be when we shall see our Savior. And that thought seems to be dominating my mind and my heart, and I've been praying about it and thinking about it quite a bit. I long to see my Master's face. But these passages that I read in your hearing tell us that we have already seen His face. Through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's something unique, something special, something that's transpired in the life of the believer that has not taken place in the life and heart of the unbeliever. There's a knowledge, a light that is referred to here as though it was in the very beginning when this world was full of chaos and God spoke and said, "Let there be light." There was light. Paul equated that very thing that happened in creation, he equated it with the thing that happened to us when we believed. He said that light that shined on the earth, when God commanded the light to shine in darkness, that light has shined in our hearts and given us knowledge in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I am thankful this morning for the knowledge that I have received in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful today that I'm not still blind. I'm thankful today that the Holy Spirit has shined in my heart and given me a knowledge concerning the death of Jesus Christ that most people do not see, and I'm afraid a lot of people will never see. Paul said in these passages that we have been given a specific and particular knowledge through Jesus Christ. And he said in the third chapter, and I want to back up here just for a moment and notice here a few passages in the third chapter. I feel this is important that we examine this. In verse 16, he was talking about the veil being on the Jews and that they cannot see Jesus as the Messiah. But actually, he says in this passage that all unbelievers have a veil on their soul. They're blind and they cannot see. And he says in verse 16, he says, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, and when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." If you will turn to the Lord today, you'll understand why Jesus died. If you'll open your heart today, the Holy Spirit, through conviction of sin, will make it real clear why He went to Golgotha and paid that horrible price. He'll make you realize that you were the reason that He hung on Calvary's cross. Every one of us that have been saved, every one of us that have been saved, tasted a little of that death when we were under conviction. Every one of us, when we were saved, we understood that Jesus was taking our place. You will never be saved till you realize that you are a sinner and that sin must be paid for, and Jesus paid the price. Amen. Till you look to Him by faith and realize that He is your substitutionary atonement for sin, that you could have fellowship with God, that you might have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said that only the pure in heart shall see God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I believe it's verse 33, that we are to follow peace with all men and holiness. Without such, no man shall see God. You won't see God unless you receive the imputed holiness of Jesus Christ. Amen. You won't go to heaven until you receive the forgiveness of sin and the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So he says, if they will turn, the veil will be removed, and they too shall be saved.
I believe you can be saved this morning if you will turn to the Lord. There's an ignorance that people... Now, I realize, and you guys know this too, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm thankful for the truth that God has revealed to me. I'm thankful for the things that I do know. Amen. Truth is very important. Pilate scoffed at the truth, said, "What is truth? Who cares about the truth?" Well, I care about the truth. Amen. And if you'll listen this morning, the truth will set you free. I'm thankful for what God has brought me to know. I'm thankful that my parents, they tried to tell me. I'm thankful for my parents being here today. I love them and appreciate the truth they tried to convey to me. They told me there was something very special about the death of Jesus on the cross. And that death that Jesus died on the cross had to become a special thing for me. I'm thankful for the church and the testimonies that I heard and the good Sunday school teachers. I appreciate other members of my family sharing the good news with me. It's a good news. It's good news to know that Jesus saves. That though today you are lost, you can be found. But none of that can do for the light of the glorious gospel that shines in our heart when we get saved. We know that Jesus paid the sin debt specifically and particularly for us. Now, I don't believe in limited atonement. But there's only one way that you can know that Jesus and the blood that was shed at Calvary is applied specifically and individually to you. And that's for God to let you know by His Holy Spirit that you now are one of His children. And the only way you can come to that knowledge is by the new birth. You must be born again of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize today that a lot of people don't consider. And in our Thanksgiving, people, we need to focus on what Jesus did. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for my parents. But I'm more thankful for what Jesus did. I'm thankful for how He had come into my life and transformed my life and changed me and revealed to me that I am one of His children. There are a lot of things I don't know, but there are a lot of things I do know. One thing I do know I have been saved. I am no longer lost. The light of the glorious gospel shined in my heart in the face of Jesus Christ, and I am one of His. I can say of an assurity and of truth that I am one of His children. I know that. Here at Victory Church, we don't preach and teach a maybe-so salvation. We preach and teach a no-so salvation. Amen. You must know that you're one of His children. You must know that you're saved. You must know that you have passed from death into life. The only one that can give you that knowledge is God. God spoke out of heaven and He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The same thing must occur in your soul. God Himself must put light in your soul. I can't do it. Your friends can't do it. This church can't do it. Why, you can read 1,000 prayers and that won't do it. God must do it. Amen. I was studying here a while back about repentance and faith. People, repentance and faith are graces. God must help us repent. God grants repentance. The Bible says God granted repentance unto the Gentile. Now, you must seek God. If you're ever going to be saved, you must seek God. This thing does not occur in your mind. It occurs in your soul. Notice there in these passages, the light of the glorious gospel shines inside your soul, your spirit, the inner core of you. And until that happens, you're still lost. And you must seek God and keep seeking God until God responds.
There must be a spiritual birth deep down in your soul in order for you to really know that you're saved. Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, he said, you must be born again. I believe in the new birth. Amen. You must be born from above. Now I realize a lot of people have some warped ideas and concepts about that. But it's very clear to me that when God does it, you'll know it. Amen. He said in the third verse, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth thou, hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You must experience the new birth. He went a little further and he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We're today trying to lift up Jesus. And if you will look to Him, you too can live. Amen. They were bitten of serpents. They looked to the brass serpent that Moses had constructed. And upon looking at that serpent, they lived. You can read about that in the book of Numbers. And I believe it's the same way today. What I'm trying to do up here this morning behind this pulpit is lift up Jesus to you, that if you would just look to Him with all of your heart, if you will turn to Him, the veil will fall from your soul and the light of the glorious gospel will shine deep inside and you'll be saved by His wonderful grace. Amen. This thing is real. Jesus said there in the third chapter of John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This morning I want you to look to Jesus. Look to Him dying on the cross. If you don't come to the cross, if you don't come to the foot of the cross, you'll never find forgiveness. That's where all of us found it. Amen. All of us that have sought the Lord and been saved, we went to the cross. We went to where Jesus died for us. When we looked at Him hanging there on the cross and the blood coming from His brow, when we looked at His hands pierced and hanging there on that tree, we saw Him taking our place. He was dying for us. Paul said, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only way you'll ever get to heaven is to obtain the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved by His grace, you need to seek the Lord with all of your heart today and find Him and come to know Him and experience the forgiveness of sin. There is no greater experience in all of the world than to have the precious blood of Jesus applied to your soul. Amen. No wonder Paul said it's just like it was in the beginning when this world had nothing on it. It was full of chaos and darkness. And God said, let there be light. Whew. You haven't begun to live until you are walking in the light of the Lord. Amen. Amen. A lot of people don't understand or realize. But Jesus was telling Nicodemus, I have to be lifted up on the cross. And if people will look to me, they can be saved. I want you to ponder something this morning. Some of you have never pondered this before. But your ways, your sins, your transgressions are so appalling to God. Your transgressions and iniquities that you have committed are so terrible, so awful, so despicable that the only way that it could be remedied, the only way that it could be taken care of is for the Son of God to come to this world and shed His blood for you. Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The only way you can have your sins canceled, my friend, the thoughts that you've had, the deeds that you have done, the things that you have committed in the body are so terrible, and the transgressions you've committed are so awful that it took blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, to make you white as snow. Blood. He said in that passage,
as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Yeah. What was it? Isaiah said, or God said through Isaiah, what was it? Isaiah 44 and 22. Or some numbers I can't get. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God and there is no other. If ye will look to the Lord, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I'm trying to lift up Jesus to you this morning. And if you will believe on Him with all of your heart, you will receive everlasting life. Amen. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have... See, only believers have everlasting life. But have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. This doesn't get old for me, people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. John chapter 3, verse 16. But have everlasting life. There are a lot of people that don't know or understand the death of Jesus. There are a lot of people this morning, they don't understand the cross. There are a lot of people this morning, they just simply can't relate to Him shedding His blood for us, to redeem us and save us. They don't understand that He came, as the Hebrew writer went a little further, said in the 9th chapter, He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. They don't understand that. But praise be to God this morning, I understand it. I understand what it means to be justified in the sight of God. As Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm thankful for the night that I looked to Jesus. I stopped looking all around, and I looked to Jesus. And that night I looked, I experienced everlasting life. And as I try to lift up Jesus this morning, I hope and pray that you will see Him dying for your sins. The sins that hide the face of Christ. Let me go back to the book of Corinthians just for a moment. Talks about it being hid. The God of this world is trying to hide this truth. I believe we have the truth. I believe we have the truth. And many times Satan uses, one of the techniques, one of the tools that he uses is sin. Sin. If you look in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1, it says, behold, the arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have caused his arm to be shortened. Your sins have caused him not to be able to hear. One of the reasons that we don't experience forgiveness of sin when we're seeking God is that we're still hanging on to sin. That's why the Bible teaches, Jesus preached, John the Baptist preached, Peter preached, the New Testament church preached, we preach today, you must repent. You cannot be saved while hanging on to sin. You must turn from sin. And if you really turn to the Lord, you will turn from sin. Amen. We just don't hear enough preaching about repentance. But I want to put a little footnote here in this message. That is this. We do not believe in a salvation that does not include repentance. Our salvation includes repentance. Amen. When you turn from sin, and I'm talking about turning from a lifestyle of sin, turning from a life full of sin, a life that many people live in sin, you have to turn from that. Amen. If you're not trying to get away from sin when you come to the Savior, you will not be saved. Amen. I can't stand this gum popping, haphazard way of approaching or coming to Christ. It wasn't like that when I came to Christ. I came to Christ weeping and mourning over my sins. I came trembling before the Lord, knowing that I was going to a devil's hell. I knew I was going to perish unless Jesus Christ came down and made me whole. And it was His precious blood that did that day. And it'll do the same for you if you will come to Him, believing that He is, believing that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You must believe the truth. The truth is being presented, but there's a veil there. You cannot see. You cannot understand. But if you will surrender to God and you will seek God and ask God to help you, He will lead you right to the foot of the cross, and you'll see Him who hung there in your place. You'll look upon Him whom you pierced because of your sins. The Bible says that it is His stripes, it is by His stripes we are healed. He was beaten for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Every lash upon His back, every torture that and pain that He went through, He did it just for you. Had you been the only person on the face of the whole wide world, He would have taken that torture and punishment that you could be saved. Amen. Man, that's personal, isn't it? Amen. That's personal. No wonder Jesus said God so loved. I believe the biggest little word in the whole Bible is so. God so loved, man, the world. Well, I'm going to close. I don't know how. I'm going to close with a couple of passages of Scripture. You know, I tried to preach yesterday about our longing to see His face. And I did. We shall see His face. Amen. Glory be to God. We shall see His face. I don't want to re-preach that. I said something to my dad about preaching, that I'd preach the message I was going to preach today. Yesterday, he said, all the deacons probably weren't listening. I said, yeah, they were too. But there's something else in the Word of God that you need to consider. And you'll find this in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. When it describes His return, His second coming. And it talks about people afraid of the Lord's face. Now here's the contrast, okay? I can't wait to see His face. I mean, you know, I know that there's going to be some great people there. You know, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and sit down with Peter and Paul, that's going to be great, huh? Look upon their face and commune with them and have fellowship with them. Man, that's going to be wonderful. And there's some loved ones that have outstripped me in life, and they've gone on to be with the Lord, and I can't wait to see their glorified bodies and see their glorified faces, and that's going to be a wonderful time. But people, I'm longing to see Jesus. Don't you realize we're not going to be like Moses who just saw the back part of God? We're not just going to touch the hem of His garment. We're going to see His face. Praise His holy name. I long for that. I anticipate that. That is my anticipation. People, that is heaven for me. I can't imagine going to heaven and there not being a Jesus. Amen. That is my bliss. That is my heaven, to see the face of my Savior. But in these passages in the sixth chapter of Revelation, it is the hell for unbelievers.
Amen.
To see the Lord of glory, to know that He died on the cross for you, that He paid the sin debt for you, that He took your place, and you rejected that and turned that away. Him coming in power and great glory, as we read about Matthew chapter 24, with all the holy angels, how to redeem the elect from the four corners of the world. The Bible says in these passages that they'll be running for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. You know what it says? Let's look there. In these passages, say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us! Hide us from the face of Him. Now notice something. In our reading lesson, we gather knowledge by seeing the face of Jesus. Looking to the Lord, looking to Jesus, we have a unique, special, wonderful understanding that other people do not have unless they look to Jesus too.
Amen.
We strive. I mean, you know, right now we sometimes are close and sometimes we're not to the Lord. Sometimes we're hot and sometimes we're cold. That shining of Jesus sometimes doesn't shine in us like it should.
Amen.
There's coming a day when all that's going to change. Where we won't be hot and cold and lukewarm. There's coming a day when we won't be sometimes on fire for God and sometimes cold as ice. We're always going to shine in His glory. But notice in these passages, they shall cry for the rocks to hide them. Look at this passage here. It says, fall on us. These are the unbelievers. These are those that have not looked at Jesus. My friend, you need to see Jesus today. You need to turn to Jesus today. You need to look to the Lord today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. What a dreadful thing it will be if the very face, which is heaven for all of us, should be the hell for all of those that have not believed. And there are some of you here this morning. You've not believed. You've not repented. You're lost. The God of this world has you blinded. The veil is still on your face. But for all of us, the face of Jesus will be the essence of heaven. You look there in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Yes, Brother Stringer, we will dip our feet off in the river that flows from the throne of God. We'll sit underneath one of those trees and it'll be a wonderful time we're going to have sitting there. But what we'll always see, and you read a little further there, it says, we'll see the face of Jesus. We'll just sit there on that river and behold the face of Jesus. And it'll be better than those crappie in the spring, amen? Yes, we'll have a wonderful time just beholding, gazing upon Jesus. What a glorious time that will be. Yes. Oh, but for you, something that is so wonderful for us will be so terrible for you. Are you ready? Let us get a song and stand and sing. Are you ready for His coming? He's coming back. He's coming back with power and great glory. And these people here cry for the rocks of the mountains. Why won't you seek His face now? Why won't you look to Him? He said, look to Me, all ye ends of the earth, and you'll be saved. I am the Lord. I am God. There's none else. If you will see Him now by simple faith as your Savior, you will see Him at last as your King, and one day enter into His presence and He will be your friend. And let us stand and sing a verse of some song. You must have a pure heart. You must know Him, the free pardon of sin. Will you come? Life is too short to leave and not know our Savior. Go ahead and begin. Will you come today? How is it with your soul? Do you know Jesus? He died for you. He came to give you life. The only reason He came is that you might be made pure. Pure enough to go to heaven. Be saved with Him. Would you come today? Trust in Jesus. How is it with your soul? The Lord today is being lifted up. And He said, come unto Me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come today. Come to know Him in the
free pardon of sin. Know what it means to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. Know what it means to experience eternal life. Know what it means to be a believer in Jesus. Would you come today and know?